So Andre, let me ask you something blunt. Are we actually building agents, or are we just building really fancy chatbots that pretend to do things?
That's actually the perfect question to start with, because I think a lot of people are confused about this. The answer is, most of what you see today is still a chatbot. But the trajectory is very clear, and the gap is closing fast.
Welcome back to TechNova. I'm Dr. Sarah Chen.
And I'm Marcus Webb. Today we have the one and only Andre Karpathy, founder of Eureka Labs, former director of AI at Tesla, and one of the most respected voices in AI research. Andre, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Andre, let's define terms. When you say agent, what do you actually mean? Because the word has been thrown around so much in 2026 that it's almost lost meaning.
Sure. So, a chatbot is a system where you give it a prompt, it gives you a response, and that's it. The interaction is one shot or maybe a short conversation. An agent, on the other hand, is a system that's given a goal, not a prompt, and it has to figure out how to achieve that goal. That means it needs to break the goal down into subtasks, it needs to use tools, it needs to observe the results of those tools, adjust its plan, and keep going until the goal is met or it determines it can't be met.
So the key difference is autonomy. The agent decides what to do, not the user.
Exactly. With a chatbot, the human is the agent. The human decides what to ask, when to ask it, what to do with the answer. With an AI agent, the model itself is making those decisions. The human sets the goal and the agent figures out the execution. That's a fundamental shift.
And what are the core technical components that make that possible? Because a year or two ago, people were saying agents were 5 years away. Now everyone's shipping them.
There are really four pieces that had to come together. First, the base model had to be good enough at reasoning to decompose complex goals. That's where the reasoning model breakthroughs, chain of thought, self-consistency, verifiable reward RL, those were critical. Second, tool use. Models had to learn to call APIs, execute code, browse the web, and actually interact with external systems. Third, memory. An agent that can't remember what it did 5 minutes ago is useless for any real task. And fourth, multi-agent coordination. For complex goals, you need multiple specialized agents working together.
Let's dig into memory, because I think that's the one that's most underestimated. When you say memory, are you talking about context windows? Or something more?
Context windows are part of it, but they're the short-term memory. It's like working memory in humans, you can hold maybe 7 plus or minus 2 items. Context windows are bigger now, sure, but they're still finite. What agents really need is long-term memory. The ability to store experiences, retrieve relevant ones, and learn from past interactions. We're seeing systems that maintain a knowledge base, vector stores, structured databases, even episodic memory logs, and query them as part of their reasoning loop. That's what makes an agent get better over time at a specific task.
Let's talk about what's actually working in production. Because there's a big difference between a demo that looks impressive and a system that a company can actually deploy. What architectures are you seeing that work?
The pattern that's emerging is what I'd call the orchestrator worker model. You have a central orchestrator agent whose job is to understand the goal, break it into pieces, and assign those pieces to specialized worker agents. Each worker agent has its own tools and its own expertise. The orchestrator collects results, checks for consistency, and either proceeds or sends work back.
So it's almost like a manager-employee relationship, but all AI.
That's a good analogy, yes. And the key insight is that this decomposition makes the system more reliable. A single monolithic agent trying to do everything tends to fail in unpredictable ways. But when you have specialized agents with narrow scopes, you can test and validate each one independently. If the code writing agent makes a mistake, the code review agent can catch it before it propagates.
What about the failure modes? Where do production agent systems still break?
The number one failure mode is what I call cascading errors. An agent makes a small mistake early in its plan, maybe it misreads a file or calls an API with the wrong parameter, and then everything downstream is built on that wrong foundation. By the time it produces output, the error is buried three layers deep and very hard to detect.
That sounds like a security nightmare, honestly. If an agent is making API calls and executing code autonomously, what happens when it does something wrong in a production environment?
This is where I think the security community and the AI community need to work much more closely together. Agent systems need guardrails at multiple levels. You need sandboxing. The agent should not be able to execute arbitrary code on your production servers. You need human-in-the-loop checkpoints for sensitive actions. And you need audit trails. Every action the agent takes should be logged in a way that's reviewable.
I want to push on that, because one of the things I've seen in practice is that human-in-the-loop checkpoints can become bottlenecks. If an agent has to stop and wait for human approval every 2 minutes, you've lost most of the autonomy benefit. How do you balance that?
It's a risk-based approach. Not every action needs human approval. Reading a file, searching the web, running a test, those are low risk. Sending an email, making a payment, modifying a production database, those are high risk. You define a policy that says which actions require approval and which don't, and the agent respects that policy. The really sophisticated systems are starting to learn risk thresholds from past interactions. If a human approves the same type of action 10 times in a row, the system can learn to auto-approve that category.
Andre, you mentioned multi-agent coordination as one of the four key components. Can you go deeper on that? How do multiple agents actually work together without stepping on each other?
There are a few different patterns. The simplest is sequential. Agent A does its work, hands off to Agent B, which does its work, and so on. That's easy to implement, but it's slow and it doesn't leverage parallelism. The more interesting pattern is parallel with a merge step. Multiple agents work on different subtasks simultaneously, and then a coordinator agent merges their outputs. This is much faster but requires the coordinator to handle conflicts. What if two agents produce contradictory results?
And how do you handle that? Contradictory outputs from parallel agents?
A few approaches. One is voting. If you have three agents doing the same task, majority rule. Another is a dedicated judge agent that evaluates conflicting outputs and picks the best one. And a third is to reframe the task so that contradictions are less likely. Give each agent a clearly non-overlapping scope so they're not stepping on each other's work. In practice, you use a combination of all three.
What about adversarial agents? I've seen some research on using an agent whose sole job is to attack or critique the other agent's work. Is that actually useful?
Extremely useful. We call them red team agents, borrowing from cybersecurity. Their job is to find flaws, edge cases, and potential failures in the other agent's output before it reaches the user. It's like having a built-in QA process. The downside is it adds latency and cost. You're essentially running extra inference passes. But for high-stakes applications, financial analysis, medical decision support, code that goes into production, it's worth it.
I want to zoom out. You've been thinking about AGI for a long time. How do agents fit into the AGI timeline? Are agents a stepping stone, or are they a distraction?
I think agents are the bridge. A model that can answer questions is impressive, but a model that can achieve goals in the real world, that's what we actually mean by general intelligence. The shift from question answering to goal achievement is, in my view, the most important transition in AI. And we're in the middle of it right now.
So when you say in the middle of it, how far along are we? Percentage-wise?
I'd say we're at maybe 40% of the way to truly autonomous general-purpose agents. The building blocks are there: reasoning, tool use, memory, coordination. But the reliability is not there yet. A human employee you can trust to handle a complex task end-to-end without supervision. An AI agent, you still need to check its work. Closing that trust gap is the next 2 to 3 years of research.
And what's the biggest technical challenge in closing that gap?
Self-correction. Humans don't just execute plans, they monitor their own execution, notice when something's going wrong, and adjust. AI agents today are mostly open loop. They execute a plan, and if something goes wrong, they often don't notice until the final output is clearly broken. Building truly closed loop agents that can detect their own errors mid-execution and recover, that's the hard problem.
Andre, this has been incredible. Before we wrap, what's the one thing you want people to understand about where AI agents are right now?
I'd say, don't underestimate the trajectory. If you look at agents today and think, this is just a fancy chatbot, you're right, but you're also wrong, because the rate of improvement is extraordinary. The agents of 2027 will make today's agents look like toys, the same way today's models make GPT-2 look like a toy. The gap between impressive demo and reliable production system is closing, and it's closing faster than most people expect.
Andre Karpathy, thank you so much for joining us. This was a fantastic conversation.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And thanks to all of you for listening. This is Technova, we'll see you next time.